She wakes up early every morning just to do her hair now because she cares, y'all.
Her day wouldn't be right without her makeup. She's never had a makeup.
She's just like you and me, but she's homeless. She's homeless. As she stands there singing for money, wo-ha-ha, 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 wo-ha-ha.
Wo-ha-ha, 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 wo-ha-ha,
wo-ha-ha, wo-ha-ha, wo-ha-ha, wo-ha-ha, wo-ha-ha.
Oh, hey everybody, welcome back to the Blackest Show About Nothing. It's Jaden XD.
Greetings.
How you doing? Hey, hey, hello, hey, hey, how you doing? Hey, hello to everybody and everyone and everything.
Oh, yes.
I'm your host, XD, a.k.a. Danger.
Been so long. She's been on.
I have a bone to pick about Nivea.
Uh-oh, why? Why?
It's not really about... we'll talk about it. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Jade. AKA that nigga. Okay, go ahead. Wait, what's happening? Like, because this is a Nivea stan account.
It is, but she left them for dead. So you know, the Hateful Heifers featuring Shamari DeVoe came out with an EP. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to it?
I watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard the songs in completion at the performance. Dr. Kia and I discussed it before recording Getting Grown, and I think she has the best sentiments that match mine, and they are, I just don't see nobody going and say, let me turn on that blueprint.
I'm thanking God though, so just party on my dime, it's on me. Let's hide to you, but I'm so used to the bird's eye view, the bird's eye view. So for the night.
Well, let me tell you something. This nigga I live with has been playing, like, he's
stop.
Been willing himself.
No, please stop.
I think he's been willing himself to like it. And it's like, you know how, like, you want something to be so, like, you like he really is trying to make fetch happen. And I'd be like, okay. You know what it is? It's like, I can't get past, like, the twins. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm just...
And Nivea left them for dead because Nivea would have saved them.
She like, would have.
I cackled McCackled when on the show. When they had that little gospel performance and Pam came out, and then all of a sudden they was pussy popping. I said, oh, Pam said, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, but yet and still, you know, yeah, they was pussy popping, and that's fine because pussies were made by God. And so were lesbians. And,
baby, I was born this way.
Pam was giving me, you know, just. The category is AG realness. It was just very much like, oh, sister. Like, we got your back. Like, you know, fuck them niggas at church. We got your back, sister.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you.
No, there's not. And if anything, like, you don't have to, like, if something just went wrong with you and one of the girls in total, like, you know, bad love gone bad, just say that. It ain't have to be, you got to renounce the gay.
Oh, I seen Kima on the train before. It's fine.
It's cool.
You don't have to, because the outfit, like, I was just like, you know, it was like Carl Thomas singing on the stage. You know what I'm saying?
She was dressed like Nick Cannon.
She was dressed like Nick Cannon on Wild, and all she needed was a turban. She's doing like the 90s, like, R&B video.
She
moves.
Wasn't even giving regular Pam like routine. You know, no. The Pam. Like, why
Pam
is she
got,
a TikTok
Pam
talent?
Got style, and she's got like, you know, I hate the word swag, but you know what I mean. She can, you know what I'm saying? She just got it naturally. And
she has charisma.
She has charisma. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, this, like, it's eating her from the inside out, this church. this hateful church she's at. I was like, where you go, Pam? Abyssinia? Where you go? Because it's somewhere hateful.
Oh my gosh. And it's like they have like what they call affinity churches where they have. Did
Come
I tell
you
about
are.
Time I went to one of them?
You said what?
Well, I went to one of them gay churches, the affinity churches.
Oh, I've never been.
Oh yeah.
Shariel took me to a church where they was playing. She came to visit me for a weekend, and she was like, bitch, we going to church on Sunday. And I was like, why? So she, we going. And I was like, but you're staying at my house. But, you know, whatever. You know, it's black and cultural. So we go. And I walked in, and the band is playing a jazzy version of Electric Relaxation by A Tribe Called Quest. And I was like, this is vibey. You want to tell your children that they don't have a war? But you also want to know that they don't need to stop killing these people. So they get ready. So anyway, we got to do this.
Church, what church was it? Was it in Harlem?
It was, no, it was, was it Emmanuel Baptist?
Lafayette, yeah.
So, it was there. So they was playing and it was a guest preacher that day. The nigga said something about chicken tenders and I went to sleep. I couldn't do it anymore, but the music was nice. They set me, though, in the slave quarters, and I didn't appreciate that. I said, well, how come the niggas who's visited, how come we got to sit separate?
Because y'all don't tie it. That's why.
It's like, why y'all put us at the bottom of
the seats are for paying patrons.
Yeah, this is bullshit, nigga.
This is a concert. This is a concert, nigga, for heaven.
I should have got on the stage and cry baby.
Okay, that's fine. You got to pay your way for salvation.
Talking.
Oh my gosh.
And then,
you know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was on the phone with Dustin and Dietrich.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just want to say publicly, fuck you, Dietrich, because
oh my gosh.
Dietrich was like, Jade, you could have been in Blueprint. I was like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? I was like, what, me and Lamisha's cigarettes? Like, what the fuck do you mean by that, nigga? What do you mean I could have been in Blueprint? I hate you right now. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing, but it's ugly.
He it's called ugly. You just as hateful as Lamisha.
He called me a hateful Newport smoking auntie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so you want to see me embarrass myself on stage, cry baby and shit? That's what you want to see, nigga? That's what you trying to see? Fucking hate niggas. They be thinking they giving you compliments. That's just dumb shit.
You know, I had, when I first moved to Brooklyn, I moved on Halloween. And so that weekend, you know, every Halloween, that weekend is the New York City Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that Sunday, Kyle had, scheduled a brunch like, oh, you know, XD's moved back to New York City, you know, whatever. So let's go eat at Mike's.
Okay.
So, you know, Mike's is around the corner from Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we had went over there. And, of course, the New York City Marathon, like, if you plan on going out during that day, don't. Because traffic is fucked up. Mm. So we were, like, on the 38 trying to go down there. even though we could have just walked, honestly. Truly. But whatever.
I mean, really, you could have.
So it took like 2 hours to get over there. But when we finally did, like the choir from mm-hmm. Emmanuel, they were singing to the marathon folks. So it was nice.
They were trying
to get people to.
Mary J. Blige?
You know, something. I mean, something inspirational, but like, you know, like Mary Mary. You know, still Brooklyn.
Okay. You know, what a time.
Something for the thugs.
To be alive. You and yours.
Okay.
Versus me and mine.
same thing. But we definitely walked right on past and went into bikes and had them pancakes.
I know that's right.
Delish.
I know that's right. But yeah, churches, I say all that to say Pam goes to a hateful ass church. It's like the church of Chick-fil-A or something. I don't know.
Well, I saw a tweet today that said, I bet you Chick-fil-A is coming out with a meal about from the DaBaby. A DaBaby meal.
The 8 nuggets and the sandwich.
A small fry.
Right? And a small lemonade.
Ooh-wee. Okay. Before we go on, let's take care of some business. We have a live show coming. It's a virtual live show, which means you can watch and enjoy from the comfort of your own homes.
Unlike Respect.
Unlike Respect, that had no respect for us and wants us to risk our lives.
They're trying to kill us, nigga.
Okay.
They said, oh no, everything else went to HBO Max except this.
Okay. Racism. Okay. And they're going to say, Aretha wouldn't want it at home. That's a lie.
Okay. And then after that, they're going to be like, Black Lives Matter had a super spreader event at the Regal Cinemas.
Okay.
The propaganda, nigga.
I keep telling you, y'all niggas at the concession stand, that's a super spreader event, girl. Girl, that is Lambda, Gamma, Omicron, Psy. Every last one. Okay. You can see it on the popcorn.
Omega, like, nigga.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like at some point we're going to be able to physically see COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's going to mutate so much. It's going to come out like ghastly, like the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Or like coughing. Mm-hmm. It'll be like coughing. It'll just be like this purple blob that floats around.
Which I will appreciate at that point.
Like the Mucinex people?
I think...
Or like the Mucinex germs?
I think I'm going to start... I think I want to start traveling around the city. Hear me out.
Mm.
On a skateboard. But on my belly. You know, so I can just whoosh through the crowds without walking through.
Wee! All the way, the making my way downtown.
Scoot in fast.
Belly flopping, I'm homebound. Do 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 do.
Do 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 do. Ooh, I'm gonna give me an electric skateboard and I'm about to maneuver around the city on my belly. That ass. That's what I'm about to start doing.
Just be careful because, you know, the NYCD. NYCD. Ooh, did I have a stroke?
Stop! Stop.
This is the reason why we need to get on with the show. So, jadedxd.com, go register for more information for the live virtual event, which means you can enjoy it from your own home.
Yep.
The event is free.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are price conscious, you know, so everybody can enjoy it. Jade and I filmed a short comedy film.
Yeah.
That we will be presenting to you all on September 18th. Time and stuff will be coming out short. Well, soon. It's in a month.
Yeah.
So fun. So you guys could just sit back in your living rooms. I feel like you all should have viewing parties, you know, no more than 5 people to a room.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. No more than 5 tested.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Top 5. I would say 10, but I don't know anymore.
I don't think 10 is safe any longer.
I don't think so. And it's so funny because of what happened, my experience this past weekend. But like, yeah. In anywho, go to jadenxd.com for free info on to watch our short film, and
which will come with a few fun little perks.
Exactly, and if you are subscribe to our Patreon, you do get a first look. Mm-hmm. So and some exclusive scenes that we had to maneuver around, so that will be just for you all. So subscribe to us, the $7 holla down at the patreon.com/JadenXD. Also remember to leave us 5 stars and comment everywhere you're listening: iTunes, Google Play, Acast, Amazon Music, you know, the bathroom stall at your local Eagle, you know, whichever. Just rate us 5 stars and leave a nice comment. So I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
We have to announce.
I want to talk about something real quick.
Okay, we have tons to just share, because I have to tell you about how where I went on vacation.
Yeah, you
went on
vacation too. Oh yeah, I was. I forgot. hold on. Ramona from the Real Housewives of New York.
The Ramona Singer, yeah. Raw chicken.
Neanderthal. White demon is what she is. So she... there's a clip of her going around on the internet, being a white woman and belittling the experience of a black woman that I happen to know through Fran. Beautiful soul. But the way that white women have the fucking audacity to take on this condescending tone when you will never fucking understand what we go through, what we have to go through in life in general, but around specific experiences. And it so she was belittling her Lenar's experience, birthing experience, and what she says she faced from the, you know, from the doctors and how they treated her poorly as a black woman. Which I can relate to. When I was 36 weeks, and I did not have any insurance whatsoever, none. And I was on Medicaid. And basically, when you're on Medicaid and you're pregnant, you have to go to a clinic or you have to go to a hospital, a clinic that is, you know, overseen by a hospital or what have you, but you are basically given whatever doctor is available that day, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that you are not entitled to that even somebody with insurance has, and we know that a black woman with insurance is treated less than and poorly within the medical field. So, with some individuals, not all, but overall, this has been our experience. From if you go back, I know we mentioned something about slavery every episode because it applies. If you go back, we were the ones, black women were the ones, the enslaved black women were the ones who were tested on. We were the ones they tested instruments on how they needed to maneuver around the reproductive system and so forth. So don't tell me that we ain't been treated fairly from jump. I had a man, Eastern European man, who asked me at 36 weeks, why are you not dilated? And because I was like, well, nigga, because she's not cooking, I guess. I was like, I don't fucking know. You're the doctor. Like, it's not time yet. I'm 36 weeks. And you know what he did? He opened my cervix. He's like, I'm going to help. And instead of allowing my body to progress naturally, which there was nothing wrong, there was nothing in jeopardy, the baby's heart rate wasn't up, none of that. This nigga stuck his whole forearm, whole thing, up to the elbow, just before the elbow, up my vagina. But it wasn't in a way where he explained what was getting ready to happen. We know about opening up a cervix. He shoved his forearm up my vagina. For the men who are listening to this, let somebody come and shove their whole fucking forearm to their elbow up your fucking asshole and see how you feel. And a white woman's gonna get up here and tell somebody based off of their own experience that she don't know shit about and be condescending and tell her, well, what do you really think would happen if I was a white woman? Fuck you, Ramona. I'll put hands and feet on your bitch ass. Somebody should gut your stupid ass like a fish.
You know what I hate? I hate that Bravo and a couple of other people have these, and I don't want to minimize the people of color that are on these shows. And I will say what I'm going to say still. I hate these diversity hires on these shows because you felt like you have to do that now because of the way of the political climate, or you'll get canceled or whatever the fuck.
What the fuck you think you're doing, Andy? You're like putting a young black girl in a class full of white girls. Stop. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, you know, you have, you know, the black women on these shows, put them on these all white shows and have them, their whole storyline is them having to educate all six other these, you know, white heifers on the show about how they've been complicit in racism or how they just be racist, and then the black woman is there to just be like, hey, that's racist. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
I mean, I hope she's not going to get on a soapbox and start preaching to us. She said it's going to be fun. Do you understand? I cry at night. I wish
Ramona,
I was Jewish.
Ramona, we're not going to make it. Ramona, baby. I'm just saying, we're not going to make it about you.
It's
and
not
your
about
white
you.
Like, I just, like, Garcelle, right? Fancy. She on Beverly Hills. And so, like, she's had to confront, even most recently, Kathy Hilton, you know, about, like, people not seeing color. You know what I mean? And and that conversation wasn't as intense, but, like, Crystal Minkoff, who, you know, is Confucius's, you know, direct descendant, you know, got into it with a white woman about not seeing color or being, you know, blind to race. And it's just like, you know, this would have never come up on any other time if there weren't people of color on this show. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I hate the fact that you all have to, it's just ingenuous. It's like, you don't really want these black people on here, really. You just want them for what they can do for you or to make good on what, you know, you think the world wants to see. So it's like, yeah, there's, and I don't want to, again, you know, minimize, because yeah, it's great. Yeah, they deserve, people of color deserve to be on these shows. But it's also like, we can see where the jig is, you know what I mean?
Yo, Ramona, you can choke, bitch. You can motherfucking choke. I hope somebody runs over your ass with a motherfucking Kia Sport. I fucking hate you. I hope they scalp your ass. You deserve slow fucking torture, you cunt. That's what they like to use, cunt. So I use cunt.
Oh yeah, that's their nigger.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll be back after these messages. Hit it, Claude.
Oh, please hit it, Claude. Hit it, Claude!
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Come get the best of the USA. Come out and play the American way. The stars by night, the sun by day. It's the American way.
we're black. How was your week?
Oh, it was lovely. we're doing a lot of revamping. I know I have not left my Patreon users hanging, but it might feel like I have. I'm shifting things over to another space. So the transition, we've been doing the transition of all of that and getting everything together. So there will be some fun announcements coming. And then, you know, I went away with Franiqua and Crystal Jean this past weekend. We just went a couple hours away to kind of get out of the madness for a little bit and had just a really pleasant weekend in the trees. And I'll leave it there. it was a good time, and it was beautiful being just in a space with some of my sisters. And, you know, it's nice to just where you can just put all the guards down, take the bras off, walk around in the caftans, and you don't really have to worry about anything but feeding yourself, washing your body, and you're in a safe environment. And so I'm grateful for that. And we had a beautiful weekend. How was your weekend? You and the mister went on a vacation? That's what they say.
Yeah, we did. It was a it's so I do want to mention that the subject of this episode comes from a listener who asked us if we could do, like, you know, how to live on a budget or whatever. And I'm going to say that, yes, we went on a vacation, a little vacation, but it was on a budget. So we went to Vegas.
I was so surprised.
Yeah, I have never been to Vegas as an adult. I've only been as a kid. And even when I was a kid, we only went to Circus.
Oh, okay.
Because my mother's place was actually Reno, which... So, it's not as hot in Reno.
Okay, got it.
So, we literally booked the trip the day before.
Oh.
What I tell you, flight, room, and everything... was like $525.
Wait, what?
I know. And we stayed at the Mirage in one of those like suites. So here's the thing. The only reason why it only happened was because it was like, oh, well, it ain't that much in theory. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, what is expensive is like weed.
Oh yeah.
Like the libation part is expensive. Except, you know,
that's
except
wherever you go.
Right. So it's like if you go buy a bottle off the strip and blah blah, you'll be fine. So like there's ways to get around it. But I will say that it was too hot to like do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, we decided it would be a great idea to go to the middle of the fucking desert in August.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Global warming has hit New York hard. So yeah, August has been pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. It was 109 degrees every day
What does that even mean? Jesus Christ.
And it had the nerve to be humid. So, like, when we got there, the Lyft Uber rideshare person was like, it's never humid. So, this is, he's like, it's even too hot for me. And I was like, oh, so I guess
It was 109 degrees and it was humid?
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, you went to a vacation in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, it wasn't like super duper humid, but there was a level of humidity to the point where like we would only go outside between the hours of 6, like 5 a.m. and like 7 a.m. And that's when the temperature at the lowest was like 90.
Kiss my ass.
So like we just stayed in the casino. I mean, our hotel is big, so it's like, you know, there's plenty of shit to do. You know what I mean? So I've learned that you should go through booking.com.
Okay.
You know, but there's also, if you just look up, like, Vegas is, if you fly during the week, it's a lot cheaper. And as far as cleanliness, I didn't feel any type of like, oh, this is unclean. If anything, I was more impressed than anything. What they have now is they have, not only do they have like hand sanitizer, cleaning, mm-hmm. cleaning stuff, but every hotel we went into, because we went to Caesar's Palace and they're owned by different people, mm-hmm. every entrance had the hand sanitizer and a box of masks that are individually wrapped mm-hmm. so you to, for you
it's
to
like
take.
Whole Foods.
Yeah.
They so got I was like, oh, that's too.
Right. And they also have people in there disinfecting the slots, like the tables. I was actually quite
okay,
surprised.
All right. I'm not mad at that.
Right. Because I was like, because there's way too many, you know, it's a lot of activity, a lot of like transmission mm-hmm. or whatever. But mm-hmm. I definitely saw them
being diligent about cleaning.
Yeah. What's it called? EVS, Environmental Services.
Okay.
They definitely was out there. I was like, you know what? Okay. And you know what? For the most part, people kept their masks on.
I love to hear
of
it.
Course, there was only one or two.
It's always a wayward soul.
Yeah. And it was like, they were old. So like, it was just like, okay, well.
Nigga, you really should keep your.
Yeah. Like, you're the ones that should main. But I mean,
that's
if this
not
is how you want
to
go
me.
Out, queen. But
I don't care.
You know
if
you're
old and you in the casino, you can keep your goddamn mask on. This bitch pulled her mask down in Whole Foods, and she was at least 75. And I was like, you know better over three lifetimes. Like, what the fuck are yeah. you doing right now?
Right. You were in act three of your life, ma. You should
you gonna
know
pull the shit down to sneeze, you nasty bitch. No. You don't get no pass because you old. Hell no. No, hell no. Your ass need to keep your goddamn mask. Keep your fucking mask on. You need it more than I do. What are you doing right now?
You know what, though? I feel like the mask thing also helps. In Vegas, because the casinos, you're allowed to smoke in them.
Oh, yes.
So, like,
oh,
we went into...
How was the smell?
Oh, let me tell you something. Every corner of Las Vegas smells like a pell-mell box.
Oh.
Like, so our hotel was fine. And like, it just has a faint smell of cigarette because it never goes away.
Yeah, no.
But, like, you know, on the floors and stuff of the casino, you could openly smoke. So, mm-hmm. And it's just like, you can tell people be sneaking weed in there, you know, which is cool. But, Harrah's was across the street. And, mm-hmm. you know, Harrah's, even in Atlantic City, is just like a couch of Newports, you know? It's
yeah.
like a Roseanne couch.
The only Harrah's I feel like is acceptable in the country is New Orleans Harrah's.
Oh, well.
Because if you go out to the other casinos further out, you want to talk about the Great Depression, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
I told me and Tristan walked into the casino. And it was like sad trumpet music. It was like.
Oh, no.
It was depressing. We were like, oh, hell no. We got to go.
It was sad.
Oh, the Harrah's be having things going on, though, in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, Harrah's is just one big Newport. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, I mean, they have Donny Osmond as, like, a celebrity, like, singer or whatever. That,
that's their
like,
residency?
Like, niggas be having shows. Yes.
Donny Osmond?
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because the Mirage is right next door to Caesar's Palace. So Caesar's Palace has like this big booming sound system outside.
Mm-hmm.
So like you hear, like if you're outside, you hear them advertise for like Usher's concert. And it's just like it overshadows Donny Osmond's little picture. Like,
I had tickets to Usher's residency, but I had to give that away.
No love in this club. In this club.
In
hey,
this club. In this no. club. Bye, Daddy.
Hi. Hey. Hey, Daddy. Ooh, that was an awkward time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't, like, I feel conflicting ways about that song. I just, I because don't. it like, it's a bop, like, in the beat, you know? It comes when you can't help but to, like, you know, chest pump. You know the chest pump where we all are. Mm. Mm. But... Mm-hmm. I hate calling niggas daddy. I hate it from like from the nail clippings of my toenails that have already come off my body. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like songs that have the word daddy in them because I find it very weird.
Yeah, I don't also. Like don't I don't I will never call you daddy, nigga.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Like, you know how on Pwn. P-O-A-N.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even, and this is both, like, you know, both hetero and, you know, hetera, you know? Mm-hmm. There's always, like, some daddy porn involved. And it's just like, yeah, that's
there's daddy correct. Porn. There's mom porn. There's stepmom correct. Porn. It's really you know, I don't want to kink shame y'all niggas, but that's gross, nigga. That's weird, nigga. Like, that's... It's Oedipus complex, porn. It's what's the other shit? What's the other shit called?
Pedophilic. Almost sometimes, because it's like, you know how yes. like they'll be like twink porn, barely legal.
I don't. 18. Yeah, I don't. What? Like what? Why? Twink. What? That's what y'all. That's what gets you.
High school. Get out early. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, this ain't it. You might want to go talk to somebody.
Yes. Sit on a leather couch.
Yeah, because something about that ain't right. That ain't right. But I don't, that mommy shit, that daddy shit, that shit is weird to me. And I, like, and having a kid, we refer to each other like that in the house. You know what I'm saying? But, like, go ask daddy, or daddy said, or, yeah. You know, even, I'll even, dad, you know, because if I'm referring to him to Noah. But I'm not calling you that elsewhere.
That's like what Monique with an apostrophe calls her husband daddy.
Please stop.
And it's just like, I just wish she would just, you know, put it into that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, me either. It's
so
kind
when
of like,
Hey Daddy came out, I was like, then these bitches remixed it into a zaddy. And I was like, please, please. Please stop.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. Kind of weird. But Usher, I didn't get to see Usher, him and his little elf self. You know, we did walk to the Flamingo where they have RuPaul's Drag Race live. And we were going to go. However, their tickets were $200 each. And
to,
like I said,
to see what the Drag Race live.
Mm-hmm. To see Cameron Michaels and Evie and Vanjie and Asia No Butterfly.
Oh,
you know
who else is on that?
Do
show?
The gigs.
Who's on that review? Because so far I've not heard $200. But keep going.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I feel like it's Cameron Michaels. Evie Oddly, Naomi Smalls.
Okay, I love Naomi.
The same. Asia O'Hara.
LOL.
Yeah, and Vanjie.
I love, we love Vanjie.
Derek.
Barry?
Yeah.
Nah, nigga, that ain't $200.
Nah, she's a showgirl now.
Okay, that's fine, but that ain't $200, nigga.
Yeah, nah.
I think I roughly estimated as you continue to say that. I said, okay, $85.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm.
And there was a drag brunch. Well, I'm going to tell you the price, and you tell me who was the, who was featured.
Okay.
There was a drag brunch for $150 each per person. Mm-hmm. And both of these, there are two queens on there from the show, okay. obviously.
Okay.
And they've both been on the show at least three times.
Manila?
No.
Oh, okay.
Think of Outrageous. Why the fuck would I have spent $150 on this person?
Oh, got it. Okay, but they've been on the show three times. Outrageous. Been on the show three times. Outrageous.
I'll even help you. They've all been lip sync assassins before. Both of them have been lip sync assassins before.
Roxy wasn't on there three times. Lip sync assassins. This season? LaGanja?
No.
Okay, I give up.
Alexis Mateo.
Okay.
And Coco Montrese.
I would not see Coco Montrese for $40.
I would have paid maybe $100 for them. Maybe you said Coco and who? Like, and Alexis Mateo.
I like Alexis. Alexis makes me laugh.
I like Coco too, but
I don't dislike Coco. But Coco, I'm not paying. What's the food hitting for?
That's also a thing, because you know drag. Can I be honest?
I'm just being honest.
There are two things that suck. Okay, with gay shit. And we're just going to have to be very honest about it.
And I literally gay told y'all a nigga stuck his hole. So.
Oh. Well, gay films and TV shows suck, all of them. And number two, for the most part. And number two, so do like gay brunches. The food is not good.
So, yeah, I don't want to go to that then.
We went to Hamburg and Mary's,
mm-hmm.
which is like the famous, you know, all the drag queens perform there mm-hmm. and stuff. We went there. I mean, it was a good show. I feel like, you know, the atmosphere was fun.
Okay.
You know, it was cool, whatever. They have, you know, you get your mimosas in like these cups that look like Fragile must be Italian, the lamp.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Listen, I be smoking too much, so I have to be having like a mnemonic memory, so I have to like recall shit for me to anywho.
Which has made you it's so funny that you say that, because, and this has happened on the show too, black people have a gift of like giving the most obscure description about something, and then another black person just gets it.
Yeah.
Which is where the nigga from the 90s came from, because we literally know which one we're talking about each time.
Yeah. Or like how I just learned with Keith Haring was, and I was like, the nigga who draw like stick figures.
Yeah, you were like.
And niggas knew what I was talking about.
So I think that's a gift that we have, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're observationalists.
Yeah, we are.
Because we got to know what the enemy's doing.
Mm-hmm. And we have a third eye.
Mm-hmm. Stay woke. Stay woke. Let's take a break. Okay. And we'll be back with more after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm the Abominable Snowman. Did you know that you are the boss of your own money? That's a special thing. You can buy the first thing that catches your eye, like this catcher's mitt, or something that costs less, like this balloon, or costs more, like this swell dove, or several different things. Or you can save it for something you haven't even thought of yet. You're the boss.
And we're black. Us to talk about like how to survive in New York, you know, on a low budget.
Okay.
And I feel like this pandemic has definitely, you know, aided with, I mean, we've done an episode before about this, but I feel like now we can, you know, what are some tips we've had or like, you know, over this pandemic or even in the past where we'd be like, girl, I've been broke. Because let me tell you something, in general, like societal, I am very broke still. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have no money like that.
Nigga. Yeah.
It actually, I am broke. And that's also a thing. People think you're doing successful because you announce all these things or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, that is cool. But niggas are still broke. So
overhead and underhead and, you know, paying for head, all of that. So, you know.
But I do remember, like, when I was living in New York, there was a part, I didn't work for a whole year. Like, I was just working, I was just living off of, like, very small YouTube checks on some, like, after grad school? Yeah, I was, like, on some, like, maybe, like, $500 a month, like, for a year. I did not have any, like, solid income.
I think that was, well, no. Well, did you have assistance?
Well, yeah, like, I had... I'm exaggerating. Like, I had, like, yes, I had my mother help me, but she didn't help me much because she couldn't.
Oh, I meant governmental.
Like, my mother, like, oh, yes, not at first, though.
Oh, okay.
Because, remember, I told you, I didn't get on welfare until, it's not,
please,
excuse me.
Shut up.
I didn't get on public assistance. It's habit. It's habit.
Oh, God, I just got an idea.
Yeah, I didn't go to the public assistance until Monique won her Oscar. Because remember, I said, if Monique wins her Oscar, I'm going to take my ass down to the welfare.
I have a text I'm sending you.
Oh my gosh, okay. And the next day after she won, me and a couple of friends of mine, we didn't have any money. We walked from my place down to the... that's the public assistance office that used to be on, what was that, Franklin and DeKalb?
Yes, yes, that was the food stamp office with all them hateful bitches.
Yes.
I was on the government assistance when I was pregnant. You want to talk about a budget?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite budget meals when I was, I mean...
Bokeem is Bokeeming today.
One of my favorite meals, which is very, what's the word? Diasporic? What's the word?
Black.
Okay, there we go. Black of origin. I would make white rice. Or brown rice, you know, whatever you niggas prefer. I give me some sausage.
Nah, okra. Fuck that white rice. Ain't nothing wrong. White rice has never done us wrong as a community.
No,
people want to leave. It has kept us alive and well. You see, people.
Nigga, they stole us for rice. Nigga,
Garvey.
They stole us for rice to get. Our expertise on rice.
That's
me and Noah have been reading the Addie books. She cried last night.
Aww.
Because we're on the first book, and I didn't even like. We at the top, nigga. We in like chapter two, nigga, or maybe we're on three now. And already Addie's brother and father have been sold.
Oh, yes, they have.
Yes, the day after. Because
the first book is about her. Yeah, the first book is about her going to school.
Exactly.
Right?
Wait, is that the first one? No, wait. No, it's Meet Addie.
Because they have to... Oh, Meet Addie.
Maybe the second one is about going to school. I'll go get the stack in a little bit. But, so Addie overheard her parents talking about running away. She was pretending she was asleep. And they were up late. And so she heard them talking about running away. The very next day, Leonardo DiCaprio comes to the plantation and he buys her brother and her father. But she overhears it because she's got to serve Leonardo DiCaprio and the other man water. So she's pouring water for them, and she hears them talking, and she just knew instinctively that they were talking about her brother, and then learned they were talking about her father as well. So the day after she heard her parents talking about the slavery, they take her. Well, then, so Noah was like, she cries then, because she's like, I can't imagine if that happened to my family. And then, you know, so then we got into a discussion where I was like, you know, you have a privilege of living during this time, I said, but it's important that you understand all of what, even if this is a fictional story, it's still a depiction of what we were actually going through as a people. I said, and your direct ancestors went through this. And so it's important that you understand that and that you learn about this so you can understand your own privilege, understand your gratitude, see how far we've come, see how far we have to go, you know, so forth and so on. But she's crying. Then, you know, she calms down. We keep reading. Well, nigga, the next thing. I was like, God damn. Oh, so the next thing. So after her daddy and her brother are sold, her mother's like, so bus it. We're running tonight. Like, that's it. We going to Philly. And Addie's like, okay, I'm scared, but we doing it. Well, then mom's like, but we not taking your baby sister. Well, nigga, I forgot about that part.
I don't remember that part.
Yes, they did not, because she had like a 2-year-old baby sister, and she was like, essentially, like all the things we say here on Jaden XD is what her mother said. She was like, that kid is holding us back. I'm sorry. She's like, if she cries, it's dead giveaway, nigga. We done. We done for. So.
The kid got bad vibes.
The kid got bad vibes, okay? The kid got bad vibes. There's another. Ooh. She's got, her destiny is different than ours. And so, ooh, therefore, I was just the vessel. Ooh. But she's got to stay here. That heifer is no good for our mission.
Oh.
And I was like,
oh, God.
This is fucked up.
Yeah.
But also, what were we talking about recently where a kid was holding somebody back? What were we talking about?
Fucking Hannah from Handmaid's
Tale. That's what I'm saying. Hannah. Esther was Hannah. She was Hannah.
Listen.
And June, Addie was trying to be June, but mom was like, uh-uh. She was like, I can't carry her by myself. Addie's like, I'll carry her. She's like, nope. She's like, she's gonna cry. She was like, I'll keep her quiet. She can play with my stuffed teddy. And she was like, no.
She gonna spook us.
Addie begged for them to bring that baby. And the mother is like, no, niet, nai. Nunca. Like, no.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean,
that's terrible. Well, it's terrible. It's terrible.
No, yes. Yeah, it's still funny.
But yes, nigga, I was reading that and I was like, damn. This is,
that's some shit. And then, did you have to explain that to Noah?
Well, she fell asleep as that was her. Okay. I'll read until she falls asleep. So I can kind of tell when she does. So I was like, oh. I said, she didn't react to this, so she didn't hear it. But that means we got to go back, because there's going to be holes in the story. So we're going to have to deal with it.
You're going to have to see. That's parenting again. You got to. There's way. It's way more involved.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are cool. It's just the parenting part is the problem for me. You know what I mean? Like, I have to do that shit. Like, A, you got to make sure make your kid is on the straight and narrow. Truly. Because they're cutting out all the real facts and history out of the school.
Oh, yeah. So then we got to keep it going.
Right. And therefore, you got to manage your own trauma and how you dealt with this in order to, like,
right? I want to cry. I don't want to leave Esther either. I'm laughing because I really was like, oh, my God, they said that kid got bad. That was literally thinking of Handmaid's. I was like, shit. Yeah, like, but at the same time, I'm like, damn, this is traumatic for a kid to be hearing. Like, but we need to hear it, and we got to hear it from young, because you need to understand inherently the Ramonas of this world and where and how they Osiris of this shit and where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
With her evil ass. I hope somebody cuts off her baby toes.
Tell the children the truth. Tell the children the truth. Tell the children the truth right now. Come on in. Yeah.
It's B Speaking of Osiris of racism, they're about to announce season 3 of UK All Drag Race. I'd be so surprised when people from the UK talk about like racism and love. They've like, I've never experienced that. And it's just like, how not? Mm. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, well, like, how?
It was born there.
Like, yeah. Like, it's organically sourced.
Truly.
There, you know what
like,
I mean?
Like, I mean, locally sourced.
Yeah. Like,
okay, all grade natural, A locally racism. Sourced honey. It really is. I just don't, I don't get it, but.
You could get it at the Harrods, you know, like whatever.
But
you
it's
have
not
in the UK.
It's not everybody, because we do know that, you know, we know they deal with it over there. But I don't understand when they say they don't know, or like when the Dutch be trying to pretend like they wasn't a part of the shit. But like, y'all took over quite a bit, Curacao, a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
Let's
try to act like
get
he
it
wasn't
twisted.
Involved. Oh, but that's what I was telling you earlier was my poor man's meal when I was pregnant, which would get me by, which will work for anybody in a budget. I mean, and swap some shit out if you're vegan and you know. I would use sausage, get a little sausage, and okra, tomato and onion, and white rice. If I was feeling fancy, I'd add a little corn. You season that up real good, nigga, and you put that tomato and that onion and that okra together and make like a stew and throw some sausage in it or some chicken or whatever like protein you have access to and throw it over some rice. Literally like a $8 meal. Because okra is not expensive, tomato's not expensive, rice is not expensive. Your meat, your protein is going to be your highest cost, but that is a stretch you out meal and some oatmeal. You have oatmeal for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, and that for dinner. You can get by for a year if you can get by.
Yeah, or you could have that, you know, personal trainer meal. Where you have like that brown rice and green vegetable and you know
and that
chicken
sweet
breast,
potato.
Or a sweet potato or beans if you're a vegetarian.
Oh, beans, you know, are the plug if you don't have no money.
Beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
Let me tell you something. I dabble in the vegetarianism here and there. But, like, at the point where I was broke, I was like, no, I want meat. But, like, black beans are a great, great... Even if you are on a budget, black beans are great to have in your kitchen in general.
Beans.
Because you can just use them, like... I made this fierce-ass black bean soup. Ah, so delicious.
You can... the thing about beans is you can... Like you just said, you can do a black bean soup. You can do a curry lentil with some coconut milk. You could do just a black-ass smoked turkey or ham hock and some Great Northerns or some pintos. You can do some black eyed peas and some smoked meat. Like, you can literally keep beans and make several different types of meals, and they will stretch, nigga. Then you can put it in the freezer. So anytime you're ready to just thaw
beans
out some
keep
beans,
well.
They keep well. You throw them over some rice. Beans are the plug when you don't have any money, but you want to change up flavors and you have to cook for yourself at home.
Right.
Unless you've got that legume thing.
Right. And then there's like, it's called $4 a day. Mm-hmm. It's this book. And it was designed for people who live on public assistance or who use SNAP benefits.
Oh yeah, you talked about that before.
Yeah, so they'll have, like, things will tell you, well, this only is going to cost you $1.66 to make, because all it is fucking cauliflower and, like, salt and pepper. You know what I mean? Or shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realize a lot of money that I spent in New York was on convenience.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times people, rent is expensive. I can't tell you how to get over that. Unless if you apply for a New York City lottery apartment. But otherwise,
no,
you knew the job was dangerous.
Get that either.
Exactly. So the only thing that'd be helpful to survive is like by reducing your food costs and your convenience costs. So what I've also learned is that people, when they first move to New York, or whatever, they tend to shop at places that they're used to at home. like Target. And I love Target, don't get me wrong, but if you're trying to be Target's costs are different everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll be helpful if you look in around your neighborhood and shop at the mom pop stores, you know, you'll definitely find cheaper options, especially Absolutely. Cleaning supplies and stuff like that. I think that's just a major idea. It's just people want to move to these cities and they want to live like they used to back in, you know, wherever in middle America, and it's just like, well, no, you have to adjust because the cost of living is so high.
Let me tell you something. A bargain store or a discount, not mm-hmm. a 99-cent store, you can find everything. Mm-hmm. Everything you need, especially on a budget.
Mm-hmm. And also, don't be afraid to go outside your borough either. I know that's a lot, but like for the low, if you want cleaning supplies, especially PPE for the low, like at the beginning of the pandemic, my coworker at the time, she lived in Flushing.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was able to get me those K95 masks when they weren't available. Even though it was kind of racist what she said about it, but Flushing is like has a large Asian community. Mm-hmm. But what she said was, she was like, well, you know, the Asian community already wears masks and shit in general.
Right.
So it was kind of easier to obtain these things. So
that's,
I was like, that's
not
true.
Racist. That's facts. I said we need to pay attention to the Asians.
I cleaned up what she said.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Okay. All right.
Because I was like, ooh, thank God I'm quitting.
They've been doing this, child. They've been doing this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, don't be afraid to like go outside of your borough. Like when I used to work in the Bronx, I would go to... like on 170th Street and buy like shit from like the stores where they get shit that fell off the back of a truck, DK. Mm. And, you know, I'd have deodorant like Mitchum and whatever for like a dollar.
Do you, I'm sorry, this is off topic, but it just came to mind. Mm. Nigga, did you hear that China and Russia are doing drills right now? And we are their number one enemy.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Together.
I told you all we need to learn Mandarin.
My cousin knows it.
People,
let me talk.
People
to her.
Were all afraid and like, we need to, you know, it's Putin. Mm. Mm. We need to learn Mandarin.
That is frightening, nigga.
But, you know, I don't, you know, all great nations must fall. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
historically. Absolutely. This system is not sustainable. But I'm like, can you just go after the powers that be?
Well, it's the people who put the powers that be.
And then we be going over there, and we be going to other places and fucking with the civilians.
Yeah, niggas go to Hawaii every day, B. And they
got to stop. Hawaii asked y'all niggas to stop coming there. They said, please, please.
Yeah, we get it. We're in the same state. We don't want to be, but damn, fine. But stay home.
Don't want to be. Hawaii never wanted to. Hawaii was supposed to not be a part of the United States.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be saved, and they got thrown under the bus at the last minute.
People from across the globe are drawn to the coastal town of Kailua, Hawaii. Its white sand beaches are among the nation's best. It even draws President Barack Obama, who vacations here with his family each Christmas. But the neighborhood board has a new message for the state tourism agency. Stopping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they asked y'all to stop coming there.
They do it all the time. They even do like a SNL sketch about like, don't go to like Hawaii with The Rock. So it's just like, people still do.
And I would love to go to Hawaii, but I sincerely am not planning any trips to Hawaii because I'm trying to respect what the natives of the island are asking.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, also, people don't research where they go. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you? Or I guess people are only interested in.
I think they don't give a fuck, honestly, friend. I don't think it's that they don't research. I think they don't care.
Hmm. Also, shout out to, not shout out, but, you know, peace to Haiti and surrounding nations.
Yes, very much so.
7.2 earthquake and a tropical storm coming. It's just like, that country has been hit so hard so many times. It just feels like everything is like relentless. And it's just, I just hope the people of Haiti get a break. And I hope the, you know, folks who are related to those, or if you're in Haiti and listen to this show, know that we're with you.
And hopefully the French will one day pay what they owe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about this a little bit on Getting Grown. And I was like, y'all have got to stop saying that Haiti is cursed by God. You've got to stop saying that.
And people say that?
Yes, they do. And I retweeted a tweet the other day that said, essentially the translation was, the only curse that Haiti has had is that of white supremacy. And so they can't catch a break. On top of environmental things, they just can't catch a break, and I do. I pray for the people of Haiti. I pray for the island. And I just, they deserve so much more. They deserve so much more. And so, yeah, we want to offer, you know, that from JadenXD.
Yeah. Let's take one more break.
Yeah, let's do one.
And we'll be back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jimmy J.J. Walker. If you're on Medicare, listen to this. I call the 1-800 number to see what extra Medicare benefits I could get. An actual person answered, looked up my zip code, and boom, I was offered extra benefits like dental coverage.
And we're black. What's like a real like struggle time?
A like, real struggle what?
Nigga, I is Poe.
Like, wait, what do you mean? What are you asking me?
Like, where you've been like, damn, like, I don't know, like, have, like, the struggle moment, like, you had to rob Peter to pay Paul, like, damn, I had to do the following.
The day I went into labor.
Wow.
Day I went into labor. So, basically, when I was pregnant, I had to stop working. Like, just stop working. Because I was pregnant and I was bleeding. There was a condition called a threatened abortion. So I was dealing with that and I was bartending. So it's not like a nigga had I had a 401k from an old job, you know what I'm saying? From old jobs. But it's not like you don't have, when you're bartending, that's how you live.
It's a gig. Type of job.
And I had to quit bartending pretty early into my pregnancy when the plan was for me to stop working at a period of time. So then we had to, you know, I went through my savings, and then Tristan was working, and he got fired from a hateful bitch who was plotting. And so we had hit a point where it was like, oh God. Uh-huh. And the day I went into labor, after that white man shoved his forearm up my vagina, we didn't have no groceries in the house. We had bread and peanut butter and jelly. And I remember eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like, before I went to the hospital. And I was not only having contractions and also, like, in a crazy...
Yeah, Miss Meal Cramps, too.
I was also hungry. I was hungry.
Oh, my gosh.
And we didn't really have any groceries in the house. And, you know, then it's not like the nigga can just run out and go get me something right now because I'm in labor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... It was a time. I think he had just gotten a new job. Like, right around that time, so it was still building back up and things like that. But then you're living off one person's income, and it's just a lot. And we, you know, we have to... One thing that I super respect about him that I've said before is that Tristan didn't have... he's not a citizen and didn't have papers for a long, long time in this country. And that's not to any fault of his own, which is why... When people are like, well, I don't, these illegal immigrants and wah, 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 wah. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about because half the time, the shit costs thousands of dollars to do. You've got to have people sponsor you. It's like a whole, it's a whole to do to even get a green card to become a legal resident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't make it easy. So when people speak from a place of privilege, I'm like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But. So he had to essentially do what he had to do for years and years and years in order to make it. And now, you know, he's got all of his stuff in order, which is really great. And, you know, it's been able to do that. But ultimately, like, he had to do what he had to do, even being in this country since he was 12 years old. He still had to do what he had to do. And so we were at a period where it just got really, really, really like, whew, nigga, shit. Like, this is, mm-hmm. a child was coming into this world on top of that.
Yeah, that's heavy.
And that's how I ended up going back to work at 6 weeks, when Noah was 6 weeks old. I'm bartending and lactating behind a bar. Literally, I'd be on the train. I'd be on the A train or the C train home, and my titties would be, they would, imagine, imagine if somebody took, like two bricks and put them in each of your nut sacks. Or you're in your nut sack, but each of your nuts. Imagine if somebody just tied like a brick to your nuts and they just were heavy.
Gosh.
Your titties rock up. Like literally when you're filled, they fill with milk, they turn into rocks. They're hard and they hurt and they're heavy. And I would be on, and so I would take my pump to work and I told my manager at the time, I was like, yo, I need to go into the, I need to go into the locker room and pump, like, every so often, you know. And he was like, okay. But that never worked in the middle of a bartending at a jazz club that is never ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so so then I would be on the A or the C train, and I had to wear black to work, and my whole shirt would be soaked with titty milk. whole thing soaked with titty milk, but thank God my shirt was black. And my titties would be in a mid-spot. Pain, and I'd be on the train 3 o'clock in the morning with just heavy, wet titties. I felt like Thea. I've been working 9 to 5.
Oh my gosh.
And so,
having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times, there's no love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town.
So, you know, I can laugh about it now or whatever, but that was a hard time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was already, it was hard in the ending of my pregnancy. It was hard for them first, you know, because we just trying to scrape it and make it, and then we have a new baby, and I gotta eat. And shout out to my mother for coming here for 3 weeks and like. Going to Costco and cooking shit and freezing shit and bringing, you know, making me tuna and oatmeal and just, you know, taking care of me or whatever, but which is privilege again. That's more privilege. But it was hard. It was a rough time for a second. That was probably one of the roughest times thus far that I've had.
Damn.
And women should never have to fucking, or should I say, mothers should never have to go back to work 6 weeks, at 6 weeks, when their baby's 6 weeks old. And I say that for any mother. I say that for birth mothers. I say that for adoptive mothers, trans mothers, mothers in general should never have to go back to work when their babies are 6 weeks old, because that is a time when you should be bonding with your baby. That is a time when you should be, y'all need to be getting to know each other, and they need to be able to feel that you should have rest and, like, just be able to really connect with your family and whatever family you choose. And this country don't make that easy.
Not at all. It's like these other countries be like, a whole year off, both, you know, there's paternity mm-hmm. leave, and, mm-hmm. you know, they get it for 6 months, and women don't have to come back for a year, and all of a sudden, it's like you have the option to work up until the day, you know, you give birth, or 3 months before you give birth. It's just nigga. Like, what the fuck?
I was doing a catering when I was like 8 months pregnant. And I was at this rich-ass white woman's house who lived in a building where Mick Jagger lived. I think Mick Jagger lived right above her. And Nicole Kidman or somebody lived right below her. Something like that. But it was definitely Mick Jagger. And I think it was Nicole Kidman. It was another celebrity. So that shows you how wealthy she was. Nigga, these niggas were so wealthy. So it was a building on the west side. Like, maybe like... it was on the west side, but it was lower, like maybe 11th, 12th, something like that. And so when they drive their cars into their garage, they drive it into one garage, and the elevator takes their car to their designated space.
Wow.
And, yeah, like it's one of those. And then you walk into the apartment, and the apartment is a two-floor house with a garage and everything in a building. So... I'm doing this this event there, catering for this event, and she, the lady's this British Republican bitch, and she's like, she tells one of my friends at the catering, should she be working? Is that even, should she be working? I don't think it's a good idea to have a pregnant... And my friend goes, you need to ask yourself why an 8-month pregnant woman has to work in this country before you start spurring off at the mouth. And my homegirl's white, which I appreciate. She's one of them white women that speaks up. She's like, no, because it's my job. And she was like, you need to ask yourself that. She's like, and maybe check your privilege. And left that lady speechless. But yeah, last few months of my pregnancy and the first few months of Noah's after Noah was here, it was rough, nigga. It was rough.
Woo.
Yeah, nigga. What about you?
You was struggling. When I first moved to Brooklyn, that was really rough. Like I said, I wasn't working. And then I called myself trying to date somebody at the time. And it was just like, nigga, I really only had like $20 a week to my name. You know what I mean? So it was really rough. And so I put myself in situations where I, you know, postured myself to be different than what I was or whatever. Because a nigga was broke. Trust and believe. But somehow I made it work. Like, I've always had, like when I was a kid, like, my mother had got laid off, so, like, I couldn't go to prom because we didn't have the money for it. So, or, like, in college, you know, I was a broke college student. Thank God for Domino's 555 deal, because she has kept, you know, she kept me fed for a solid year and a half.
Oh, nigga, I ate more spaghetti in college than... than eight nonas, nigga. Like, spaghetti night at my crib.
Listen. Yeah, like, I just, you know, I've always knew how to, like, I never really had a lot of money. So I've always just kind of figured out a way to, like, navigate and move. But, like, yeah, definitely when I first moved to Brooklyn, it was rough. And, like, that's when we both were on food stamps at the time. You know?
Yeah. So. No. Yes, but that was, you know what? That was a privileged poor.
It was.
That was privileged poor, what we did at that period of time. We was in our 20s. We got food stamps. We was having shrimp and grits brunches on Wednesdays. Like, and watching Polly. Like, we was just... we was just... Like, that was privilege poor. But, like, I have been poor. You've been poor.
Yeah, but I've been privileged poor. Yeah.
That was privileged poor. You must know the difference. We had cell phones, nigga. We could have gone and got jobs. He's like, well, we gonna ride this wave for a while, nigga. But I have been actually broke before, like actually broke in my life. And I know there are people with worse circumstances. There's people who's had to live in their cars and
oh, absolutely. You know, I've had to work with them, you know, people who are homeless, living on the train for 20 years, you know. But, you know, good times. Ain't we lucky we got them?
Okay. That is a depressing ass show.
Yeah, which is why we should end on this note.
Ah! Ooh, oh my God. Look at JJ's outside of the window.
You know, when we were in Vegas, he has a commercial for Medicaid or Medicare or the one that has the red, white, and blue card. And like he's in front of a green screen, but it's like a Zoom type of situation. So it's like the backdrop of like a wall of like a nice white suburban home. So like in the thing, it has like all this good times memorabilia to like ensure that, you know, this is why he's important. Cause in another commercial, the white lady don't have it. It's the same background. It's just different. Like they didn't change it up to like a pot or a plant.
That was in his writer. You must put all the good times merch in the background.
Exactly. But
this is a sad note to end this on.
Well, I mean, yeah, JJ is pretty sad.
Well, we'll see you all next week here at JadenXD. Make sure you register. All the information is in the description box below.
Yeah.
Wherever you're listening. And we'll see y'all later.
Bye.
See you on Patreon.
Yes, Patreon. Bye.